Adult Authors. I'm Joanne Morrell, children's and young adult fiction writer and author of Short Nonfiction for Authors. Thanks for joining me for the Hybrid Author Podcast, sharing interviews from industry professionals to help you forge a career as a hybrid author, both independently and traditionally publishing your books. You can get the show notes for each episode and sign up for your free author pass over at the Hybrid Author website to discover your writing process, get tips on how to publish productively, and get comfortable promoting your books at www.hybridauthor.com.au. Let's crack on with the episode.
Hello, authors! I hope you're all keeping well in whatever part of the world you reside and listen to the podcast in. Today's interview is with Lisa Darcy, also known as Lisa Heidke, on becoming an internationally accomplished author of 8 books. And we chat about Lisa's work, why books with women and issues such as family dynamics, relationships and career do so well, Lisa's advice to authors just starting out, and much more. So in my author adventure this week, I am back from being in Bali for 4 days, and I have to say it was absolutely an incredible time. I mentioned last week I haven't been since I was a child, but it was just such a great place. It's such a busy place. People are real nice, but it's real cheap and it was nice and hot. And not that we've had a bad winter here in Perth, Western Australia. It's been quite fairly sunny most days, even when it's torrential rain. Even when it's torrential rain, it's not been too bad actually overall, I think. It's not been too cold. But yeah, it was lovely. Felt like you were on holiday, you're swimming about the pool and that kind of climate. So no, it was really good. No bookstores over in Bali that I could see. Obviously people are quite poor, there's lots of market stalls and get haggled, and I wish I'd done a bit more shopping actually, but so I don't know if I'm being ignorant saying that about the books. There was obviously books in the airport and the usual bestsellers and things like that, and I bought a book at the airport, Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow by Gabrielle Zevin, and I have to say it took me a little bit to get into it. The writing is very good, the storytelling is immense, the characters are just really unfolding in so many glorious ways. It's very unique. It's quite a different book actually. I haven't read anything like it. I'm not quite finished it yet, but I'm almost at the end, and yeah, I definitely am a fan, I've got to say. So go and check out that fiction book. It is a very good read. Most of my author adventure this week is been doing work focusing around the book launch. I have a book launch coming up for my first in women's contemporary fiction series, The Writer, the Hairdresser and the Nurse, and it's launching Thursday, September 5 at the State Library of Western Australia, Francis Street in Perth. If you reside here, you want to come and join. I have been busy obviously getting that organised, letting people know about it, seeing as I took some time off in Bali. And didn't obviously promote it and things, but I'm really excited. I can't wait to celebrate with friends and family and other book lovers, and it's going to be a good night with good food, good wine. That's what I keep thinking is how do I want this to go? And it's really simple, quite not too fancy, but really nice, and that's sort of all coming together. But it's a slow process of things this week haven't felt like they've been able to go right in terms of technology, where something that should be easy as sort of changing a password, it's very hard, and so yeah, sort of jumping through hoops trying to get certain stuff done. So I am looking forward to this launch very much. It's going to be a conversation with general fiction author Sasha Wosley, and then hopefully sell some books and do some signing, and then just sigh with relief that I've done this. I wanted to do it for this. It feels right. There's 4 books in the series. I don't know if I'd be doing a launch for every single one, maybe every second one. I'm not sure, but we'll see how this one goes. I've never actually done one before, so I'm really, really excited. And there's lots of people coming, and yeah, I hope it's a good night for everybody and everyone enjoys it, and more so everyone enjoys the book. That's what's going to be exciting. So my first review of The Writer, the Hairdresser and the Nurse has come in from Bianca Mal, who is an Instagram book reviewer, and she reached out to me and I sent her a copy. And so she says, "This is a story of writer Agnes, hairdresser Donna and nurse Christy. Agnes is struggling with book sales and her relationship with her husband. Donna is struggling with infertility and Christy is struggling with a busy work schedule, 5 children, and no help from her ex. Will their connecting friendship help to turn each lady's situation into a positive one? I relished the concept of the story, which featured 3 strong and powerful women who provided an important and inspiring insight into the world around us. A wonderful story with profundity and purpose. The 3-point narratives provided a fascinating and contemporary perspective on the 3 main protagonists and their respective personalities and friendships that they formed with each other. Filled with themes of love, friendship, hardships, and career growth, I was invested into the lives of the 3 characters in hope that they would make a better life for themselves. And she says, thank you at JZ Morell for the early review copy. So I've also posted out another review copy. I haven't done a lot of it. I seem to be only able to sort of process a few things at a time. I am a one-woman band, and right now the focus is on the launch, letting people know about this. And, you know, one day I'll probably get my act together where there's a schedule in place. This is the way we go, as I'm finding my feet doing these things, because it's all different. And it's, I changed my process also, which it doesn't make it hard, but, you know, it's a different type of book too. So it's like I'm navigating each different genre every time I publish, usually, because I've got 4 books in this series. So hopefully by book 4, I'll have a process and I'll be an old hat. I'm about to publish. This has got to be done. So yes, as I was saying, I sent another review copy out to Writing WA for a lady there who's hopefully going to review. And hopefully after the book launch, lots of people who take it home will also leave me a review, which will be lovely. And I just really, really hope, my hope for this work is that people connect with it and they enjoy it more and most. That's it. That's the solo one. And what else I want is to move on to the next one in series. I have started characters. I have started plotting a little bit, but my main focus, as I said, is on this book launch. As soon as it's over, then it's right into launching The Writer, The Hairdresser and The Nurse on my website. So if you can't make the launch, you will be able to buy it direct from me, the ebook, the print book, and the audiobook will probably follow a week later. Then it will go on to the third party retailers. So, you know, Amazon, all those, the usual places. And I'll be selling that book like crazy. And I will also be writing the next one. That's the plan anyways. Wish me luck.
Thorn Creative, where beautiful websites for authors are brought to life. No matter what stage you're at with your writing, your stories deserve a dedicated space to shine. Whether you're just starting out or have a bookshelf full of bestsellers, your website is the hub of your author business, binding everything you and your books offer together. Thorn Creative can nurture all aspects of redesigning your old site or start afresh from the initial design. They can provide ongoing hosting and maintenance to marketing your books online, saving you time, money, and stress trying to wrangle your site yourself. An author website built by Thorn Creative can easily direct readers to your favorite retailers, your publisher, or simply set you up to sell to them direct. The options are endless. Thorn Creative have worked with many authors across all genres and know what goes into good, functional, working author websites to sell books. Head on over to thorncreative.com.au/websites for authors to read author and publisher testimonials and to see what they offer and some of the sites they've created.
Lisa Darcy is a contemporary women's fiction writer. Her 8th book, The Pact, has just been released by American publisher Wings E Press. Lisa was picked up by Allen & Unwin in 2007 and has 5 books published under the name Lisa Heidke. She has since had her first book published with UK publisher Bloodhound and several others relaunched in different languages under new titles, a new brand, and her newest name, Lisa Darcy. Welcome to the Hybrid Author Podcast, Lisa.
Thank you. Thanks, Joanne. Thanks for having me here.
We are so thrilled that you could join us today. So can you just tell us, how did you come to be a writer?
Oh, look, I think it's a common story. I always liked writing as a child, was always inventing things, and I would charge my parents 5 cents to hear my short stories when I was about, you know, 8 or 9. Seemed like a good way to earn that lolly money, where you used to go to a shop and get a bag full of a white little bag full of lollies for 5 cents. And they indulged me. But at school, yes, definitely, I was always on the English, ancient history side of the spectrum. I was never into maths, chemistry, or physics. So really, the writing was just a thing I did, because also my mother ingrained in me the importance of reading. So she read to me from, I think, the time I was born. So reading and writing were always part of my life. And then after school, I went on to Queensland University, where I studied journalism. And so obviously the writing was very much part of that as well.
Oh, amazing. And it's good to hear that it was so valued in your upbringing, because you can talk to some people and it's, you have to get a real job, or writing's not a thing. And
Well, don't get me wrong. My father was always like, yeah, well, you know, that's never going to earn you any money.
Hence the journalism.
Obviously he was right. But, you know, so he was very much like, oh, you just, so I had a maths tutor. I think I had a physics tutor. And I was just like, this is never going to work for me. So it was very much on my mother's side that she encouraged that reading and writing.
Oh, fantastic. Well, tell us, so we're dying to know about the new book, The Pact. Tell us all about it.
Women's contemporary fiction. Always the women are the main characters. It's not a romance. It is always about women and their relationships, be that with their siblings, parents, children, work colleagues, friends, and romantic partners. As you mentioned before, I'd written 5 books for Allen and Unwin. There were always sisters, I think, in most of my novels, but it was never the main part of the story. So with The Pact, what I wanted to do was write about two sisters, Annie and Samantha, 2 years apart in age. So there's a competitiveness there. And it was just about, you know, if you've got siblings or sisters or brothers, whatever, there's always that love-hate dynamic, and that, you know, is family more important than anything else? So anyway, I wanted to write about sisters. And I wanted them to be in the same profession. So I've written about librarians, actresses, interior designers, you know, naturopaths. And I just thought, what can I do that these sisters are in the same profession? And I never set out to write a sports novel or a sports romance or anything like that. It was the fact that I thought with tennis, hang on, these sisters could be doubles partners as well as competitors. So I just needed them to have the same job, basically. And I thought, well, that's a good one, because although tennis can be a team sport, it's generally only a team sport with two players. So, So I thought, that's what I did, because I just wanted to delve into their personal and professional lives and have the two sisters not only connected by family, but connected by profession.
No, I like that. Did you happen to be watching any tennis at the time, or Serena and Venus Williams?
No. Yes. I did play tennis socially, and obviously keep up with Wimbledon and Flushing Meadows and Roland Garros and the Australian Open. And I just thought that is a really good hook. Not only that, Joanne, I think also the hook for me was that I could have my characters travel. So they weren't just stuck in Sydney or Melbourne. They could go to France. They could go to the UK. They could go to the States as well.
Yeah, and does that obviously piques your interest and creative flow to be able to research these things and write about them as well?
If I'm being completely honest, it just makes it easier. Yeah. If I can change the setting and go, oh, my God, I'm so bored with writing about Melbourne and Albert Park and, you know, St Kilda and the tracks, hang on, what about if we take them over to Stuttgart in Germany, or we take them to London? It just, seriously, it's a mechanism for making the writing easier, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Do you feel like it brings in more of an international audience as well?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, absolutely. Okay. Yep, definitely. Definitely. You mentioned before about my first five novels published with Allen and Unwin. Now, all five of those, bar one, basically based in Sydney. Yeah, so it was quite, not that that doesn't have an international audience, but I just think that bringing in the international, the travel, the, you know, the excitement or the devastation, rather, of that brings in a different perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. And these types of books, like you mentioned, and it's funny because I'm just about to release my first ever contemporary women's fiction book. And
it's
the same, you know, it's exactly the same as yourself. It's relationships, it's the family, it's the career, it's all that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I love reading those kinds of books. Mm-hmm. I really, really do. So are you the same? This is the genre that's
So Jane Fallon, Marianne Keyes, Leanne Moriarty, Rachel Johns, but the list goes on. Like, I really love those authors. That's not to say that I don't love crime. I read a lot of crime, a psychological crime, like Robin Harding. Oh, I'm just trying to think of male authors. I mean, Harlan Coben. I do read those authors. I just don't write in that genre, because I don't have the skill level and I don't have the, you know, research, police procedures, all of that sort of thing. What happens? Like, don't get me wrong, I love Midsummers and so I feel like I could almost do it, but not quite. So I love all that. I don't, you know, don't think I would have the capacity to be believable. That's the one. Now, when you mentioned about the pact and the sisters, I've played tennis. I know tennis. Most people do know tennis. And I was able to research it. So I read a lot of autobiographies like Andre Agassi, Steffi Graf, Ash Barty. I got a lot of background information reading that sort of thing to a point where I thought, I can carry this off. I don't think however many crime novels I read, I would be able to carry off crime novel, unless I actually went out and murdered someone. And
I'm not prepared
to stay in jail for that amount.
You never know what the future holds. You might be hybrid of both the books. That's your calling. Yeah. You never know. So why do you think like these types of books, like the contemporary women's fiction, why are they so popular? Why do they do so well, do you find?
But I think that when you read those novels, you can find grains of truth. Mm. As in, you know, where they're writing about the school trivia night, like Ali Lowe, an Australian author, has written about murder that happens at the trivia night. If you're a parent, you understand that. Jane Fallon and Marion Keyes, actually, doesn't include children, but they include aspects of real life. Again, whether, you know, it's the cat annoying you when you're doing an interview or, you know, or the new spoodle that you've bought your children because they're going into high school and you're giving them incentive to study and also exercise. I think the point I'm trying to make is that is real life. So while I love crime for escapism, hopefully I'm not going to walk out the door tomorrow morning and find a dead body on my lawn.
Mm.
However, it's not beyond the realms of possibility that I might walk out into the front yard and see the couple over the road arguing or, you know, acting suspicious, even if they're only acting suspiciously in my mind.
Yeah.
So back to your point, I think it's just about you can see yourself in those situations, whether it's being at school, being at the pub, being driving and, you know, someone has road rage, or watching the tennis and seeing Samantha and Annie Callahan playing in a doubles match that ends disastrously.
Yeah, yeah. No, there's definitely something in that. And I feel like with the kind of women's fiction genre, as I said, I'm just coming into it and starting out from, you know, many years in sort of children's fiction and going into nonfiction. But I feel like coming into my 40s, I've got, you know, from having the marriage and the kids and the now separated, I just feel like I've got so much I need to release and say. So about these elements of my life now, would you say the books that you've published, is you've had something to say in each
absolutely.
One almost at your point in time of life?
Absolutely. I'm not saying I had something to say about tennis players. But looking beyond that, I did and I do still have something to say about siblings, sisters. I have something to say about being a daughter and having parents. I've got something to say about being a mother. I've got things to talk about. And certainly, Joanne, that I'm not saying that me separating and divorcing from my husband had an impact, but obviously it does. It informs your writing. Your life experiences do inform your writing, I would say.
Yeah. So I almost feel like it's subconsciously as well. And then you sort of see it on the page and you're like, oh, actually.
And that's not to say that you can't write about fantasy, sci-fi, dystopian fiction, historical romance. Of course, that is all there as well. But what we're talking about for me is me writing about modern day life, modern day relationships, life, familial relationships. So, for example, a novel I wrote that took me quite a few years was released in 2021 about a city woman who one day just gives up a job, breaks up with a boyfriend and goes, you know what, I'm going to move to the coast, be near my favourite auntie and open a flower shop.
I love that.
So for me, that was when, even though I'd been writing it a few years prior, I had lived in Sydney for over 20 plus years and my kids went to university and left the home, and I decided to move 2 hours south to the coast at Jarowa in New South Wales and write that book, which I absolutely love.
That's amazing. And I almost feel like it gives people hope that they can change things up, they can change their life, and hopefully have a happy ending.
Yes, absolutely. But to that point, my fifth novel was released by Allen and Unwin in 2015, and at that stage I had three teenagers. They're not going to hear this, but three teenagers, needy, greedy. Yeah. And also, Joanne, needing food every night. So, you know.
It's not just teenagers. It's all kids.
So for me, I just went, you know what? I need to step back from my writing, look after my kids. Oh, and so by 2015, I actually was, not only separated but divorced and had my three teenagers to look after, as well as a very needy cat and dog. So, yeah, I also think that I think it's okay. I think you've got to give yourself permission, because I felt very guilty for taking a break. I needed a break.
Mm.
The guilt of just not writing every day was enormous.
And is that up until that point, was that something you had been doing? You had been writing every day?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And like very much beating myself up if I didn't write every day. So in some ways, having that break in 2015 was cathartic, because I just went, you can't keep it up. You've got to look after these kids.
Yeah, because then in the end, if you don't, I hate the word balance, because I'm not sure, well, I definitely don't do it well, but in the end, if you aren't doing what needs to be done, which ultimately is, you know, caring for the family first, but then someone could come and argue that writing's your job, that's your career, how are you going to care for your family if you're not affording to look after them? But can end up getting in a spin and a diz, and just you're the one that will suffer. And, you know, both sides need you to be 100% in your health, your mental health, all the rest. So, yeah, I think taking a break is good. And it's very difficult, though. And I've felt the guilt over the years as well, you know, raising young children, trying to work other jobs part time, like trying to do it all, I guess. Ooh. And then I've realized I used to feel like if you weren't physically sitting writing, you weren't being productive. But then as experience comes and you realize your thinking is a lot of part of it, you know, even taking going for walks and things and thinking about
staring
the story
out the window.
Yeah, yeah, it's daydreaming and everything. Yeah. That's all part of it. And it is that's a productive way, although even sitting reading a book as well is all good. Or
well, I definitely think that me personally, if you're a writer, you need to read.
Mm.
So that's my take on it. I think you need to read, because reading, hopefully for pleasure, but sometimes, Stephen King's On Writing, which I think a writer's Bible, it's just also you can sort of see, okay, I see this is what the author is doing, so that you can understand about story arcs, point of view, tense, or secondary characters, secondary plots, all of that sort of thing, which is vital to your own writing and informs your own writing, I would think.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you 8 books internationally accomplished. It's congratulations.
Sounds good.
Yeah, it does. writing these books over the years, have you become faster? Obviously, you said you've taken a break. How has the process been from 1 to 8 books?
I think it's faster. I think... Well, it has to be, doesn't it, Joanne? Otherwise, I've learnt absolutely nothing. So, look, I'm still a pantser. I am still the person who gets the idea and writes it out as fast as I can to get that first draft written. Having said that, I would also say I can do it a lot more constructively. Now, that's not to say that it's not edited to the, you know, nth degree. But I guess I know what not to do, you know, the silly little things, whether that's tense, point of view, or including other characters on the protagonist's journey. I can sort of do that more effectively, hopefully.
Yes, I'm sure you do. Well, yeah, I mean, after 8 books, what would you say is the most valuable piece of advice you would give to someone starting out in the writing authorship world?
The most obvious is to write. Now, I would say experiment. So you might think, oh, I'm scared of dialogue, or I'm scared of narrative. So experiment with that. If you're really scared about writing dialogue, just do a whole scene. Now, a scene might be 200 words, it might be 500 words, it might be 1,000 of just dialogue. If you're scared, you know, hesitant about writing in first person, just force yourself to do it. I write a scene like that. I would just say keep going, experiment, write every day if you can. Don't beat yourself up. Like I said earlier in our interview, if you need to take a break, you need to take a break. Whilst you're taking that break, I would recommend reading, whether or listening podcasts like this, or reading biographies about authors you really like, because you're not alone. Whether you're starting out, stuck in the middle, or not knowing what to do next, if you read authors and listen to authors, you're going to find inspiration. So I would just say to new writers starting out, just immerse yourself in the process and listen to authors, read authors, read books, and just exercise that writing muscle. For example, I've got a ginger ragdoll sitting on, he's just looked up, sitting on a cushion next to me. You could just start writing and maybe talk in his voice. His name's Oscar, and he might have a plan to destroy everyone by dipping his claws into some sort of poison and then scratching his parents. hopefully not true to life, but just invent things and write about anything that's going on in your life.
No, that's fantastic advice.
And more seriously, I would say, so for example, what I did was I wrote and wrote and I entered competitions. Never won a competition, but I would get longlisted or shortlisted. So like Varuna, Blue Mountains in Sydney, in New South Wales, I would enter those competitions very early on and get longlisted. So I would also say to write and then wherever you can, enter competitions, go to writing workshops, obviously, join New South Wales Writers Group or the Australian Writers Centre, become part of a community because writing is very much a solitary activity. So if you can find like-minded people in your area, state, country, world, great. Then you have a sounding board and you will find there are no stupid questions. You will find that people are just like you and they're starting out or, you know, they've been writing 40 years plus and they still have the same question.
Do you have lots of writer friends that you consult with often? Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, many of them have been with me since the very early days before I got published. And then you have your friends that, you know, your Alan and Unwin friends. And then you have your Wingsy Press friends, you know, when you move around publishers. And it's, you don't speak to them all the time, but the great thing is they are there, certainly online and, you know, talking to them like this. And they just are sounding boards, really. And they just go, yeah, okay. Well, I dealt with that last year, last week. And it's great because there is a huge community out there. And also, I would say I am not competitive at all. So my friends range from, you know, children's authors like A.L. Tate, rural romance writers like Fleur MacDonald and, you know, Kylie Ladd, who writes contemporary fiction, Andrea Barton, who writes like crime and thrillers. There's enough room on the shelves for all of us. I think don't be afraid to reach out to authors who you admire, because if they're worth their salt, they are going to go, oh, yeah, look, join me. Because my take on, you know, my cat-killing, claw-poisoning friend here is different to your, you know, your, you know, animal who's doing the same thing. It's our voice that makes us different and unique.
Absolutely. No, well said there, and some really fabulous advice. And I'm sure our listeners are chomping at the bit on where they can find out where they can get your
on
books.
With it.
not at all. But thank you, Lisa, for your time and expertise. That's been incredible.
That's okay. Thanks, Joanne.
Can you tell our listeners where can they get your books and see everything you do on and offline?
Okay, so I am Lisa Darcy on Instagram, Twitter. I've got a Facebook author page, which is also Lisa Darcy. And books, look, mainly go online to Amazon or Kobo or physical books like Barnes & Noble and order them through your bookshop. Yes, indeed.
Fantastic. Well, that was so great, Lisa. Thank you so much for coming on.
No worries. Thank you so much, Joanne, for having me. I really appreciate it. And I appreciate, obviously, as you can tell, I love chatting about writing and books.
Yeah, and you're very knowledgeable after, you know, 8 books internationally accomplished. That's fantastic. Thanks again, Lisa.
Thanks.
So there you have it, folks, the absolutely inspiring Lisa Darcy, also known as Lisa Heidke. Her books are fantastic. I highly urge you to go and give them a good read. Next time on the Hybrid Author Podcast, we have best-selling children's author Tim Harris on writing laugh-out-loud books for kids. I wish you well in your author adventure this next week. That's it for me. Bye for now.
That's the end for now, authors. I hope you are further forward in your author adventure after listening, and I hope you'll listen next time. remember to head on over to the Hybrid Author website at www.hybridauthor.com.au to get your free author pass. It's bye for now.